Sometimes we need a little inspiration, and Real Things Living podcast does just that. Real Things Living has a focus on resilience and connection with others. This podcast is brought to you by Gemini Media. Gemini Media delivers the best solutions for communications through collaborative relationships. Hi, y'all. It's Bridget Cudjaw with Real Things Living. Today, my guest is Kelly Chase. She is an entrepreneur, a podcast host, and she was on season one of Love is Blind. Can you say hi, Kelly?
Hi. Hi, everyone.
I really appreciate you coming on. You have an amazing story and a background, and you totally understand how to overcome challenges, because I'm sure my understanding is on the Love is Blind thing, it didn't quite work out afterwards.
It did not. I mean, let's put it this way. Yes, in the long run, it did all work out the way it was supposed to.
Right,
but yeah,
correct.
At that time, no, it didn't feel so great.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. And yours is public, right? That's made it probably harder.
Yeah.
Anyway. So how did you even get on there? I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah. So my story is different from the rest of my castmates. Everyone was recruited, but I was recruited because they already had my file. Because I had interviewed for the show Married at First Sight a few years
ago.
But yeah, an ex-boyfriend had submitted my information. That's the long story short. He years ago, and that's how Married at First Sight reached out to me, and then it was the same casting
production. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I've never been involved with that. Was it filmed here in the Atlanta area?
Yes, both of those shows were filmed in the Atlanta area, and Love is Blind season one, they started in Atlanta.
Okay. So you had, when I introduced you earlier, that you're an entrepreneur, that can be hard, right?
As you know. So hard.
I'm on the same page, because I've been doing this on my own. I can't believe it. For 10 years.
Oh, wow.
But I did it through going cancer, the last cancer treatment. But wow. I think it, even though it's hard, it helps you. I don't know, gives me the right mindset. And
it does.
And then I don't know, it gave me some, provided value to me that people actually to work with me.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it has so many ups and downs, but I didn't come from necessarily entrepreneurial parents. So I feel like my parents are both very ambitious people, but there is a different, I guess, in the, environments I have submerged myself in these last few years of being an entrepreneur. I feel like the mindset is different, and there's just a different like frequency around it. And it's almost like I do work a 9-to-5 job too, but it's very entrepreneurial. Like I'm an account executive, so I manage accounts, and that's like you in your business. You have to manage your own accounts and stay on top of your clients and build relationships and all of that. So it's very much similar to having your own business in that regard, but there's just so many, I think my ups and downs of my simple business entrepreneurial journey have been very high, very low, lots of challenges, pursuing something, figuring it out that this actually doesn't feel that great. And so I stopped doing it, and then I'll pivot and go do something else. And I'll pivot and do something else. And to many, that could feel like, wow, this isn't working. I'm failing. And whereas, yes, has that thought come across my mind? Sure. It does feel like, okay, I tried this. It didn't create the impact and income that I was really thought that it would. And so I'm just going to pivot. And part of that is me being inconsistent, because it's not, you got to stick with something, obviously, for it to work. And I think some of that was me pivoting a little too soon, but altogether, I had a lot of resistance for the way that I was showing up in certain ways in my business. And now I'm focused more on like relaunching my podcast. I started a podcast about 3 years ago, and I've taken a couple of breaks here and there, but now it's like, okay, I just want to put all of my energy there. and not, because I feel like also I was spreading myself very thin, and that doesn't help either. Because then you can't show up at all in any regard.
But we are all guilty of that, of what you're talking about, especially when you're not sure what you're, I'm sure you've heard about the term purpose, and I should say blah, 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 but
yeah.
It's kind of what, how I see it. And you got to find your, I believe in finding your unique story, and that kind of helps set your, I'm sure you've heard about the branding and all that. And I've been doing my podcast for, gosh, 5 years. Holy cow, how did that happen? I never thought that would happen, but people keep telling me they like it. So I, okay, but then I've tweaked it along the way. Trust me.
Yeah.
I've had to tweak it a little bit, but it just connects you with other people. Mm-hmm. And having the right mindset is critical in anything. And I'm pretty sure everybody understands who've tried to start their own business. Entrepreneur is a word that can be applied to anything, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm like, entrepreneurial minded, you know, it's like you have, it's a certain way.
Yes. And I think it kind of fits me. You probably are similar to me. I kind of, I just think, I mean, we're connected here. I like to help people, but I don't, I've rebellious in a way. Don't be like told what to do.
Right.
I don't know why I'm that way, but that's just, I mean, that makes sense. I've worked in corporate.
Yeah.
Right. And it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I did better in the more of a client facing role, kind of like what you are doing.
Right.
Because you have a little bit more openness or flexibility.
Yes. Yes. There's definitely a lot of flexibility. And again, it's with everything that we do, it goes back to communication and relationship building.
Yes. You know,
a romantic relationship or a professional relationship, like anything you're doing is communicating properly. And, you know, if you goof up, then own it, take responsibility of it.
Yes.
And, you know, and then just provide, okay, well, here's a solution. This is what I can do, and to continue to foster that relationship and build it. And I think that was it too. I worked a couple of years ago. I've been in and out of corporate a few times now, but my prior role was in an office, and it was 9 to 5, 40 hours a week in the office. And I was just like, skin was crawling. I could not wait to get out because, again, I had a touch of working for myself, working from wherever I wanted to. So the freedom, the flexibility of all that. And then I'm confined to a cubicle. And I was like, oh my God. But I had, you know, some financial struggles, and I had to do what I had to do to make things better for myself. So, but yes, this forward facing, client facing is just so much better. I mean, there are times like, it's funny. I've, you know, invited clients to lunch sometimes, and I'm thinking, okay, this will be like an hour and a half, you know, and then we're sitting there for 3 hours, and I'm like, well, at least we're building a relationship.
Right. That's really what it is. I think more women are having more, this is my opinion, helping input this and make it more flexible.
Yeah.
We need to have that. I think that's probably why I should say I rebelled, but I kind of did. I, back in the day when I first started, before I had my sons, or maybe it was after my first son was born, I don't remember, but there, it's when the emails came out, right? And so, and I had to travel a lot. I'm like, why do I have to come in the office? Right. But I have email.
Right.
So like, you're right. But just little things like that. And we didn't have video back then. We didn't have, I think mobile phones weren't out yet. If they were, they were gigantic, and you had to have them.
Right. That's true. They were big.
Right. They were. Yeah, I did lose one time. I forgot in a rental car, and they called. Oh. They called me, and so they mailed it back to me.
But, that's good.
But you're like traveling. But it's just, I don't know if you have to travel, but that could be a little, with client-facing roles, you usually do have to travel. I was just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I have just, a driving distance territory.
Well, that can be hard though in the Atlanta area.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting too. I mean, technically my territory is generally where I live. So, I mean, in the warmer months, I could walk to some of my accounts if I really wanted to, but yeah, otherwise in and out of parking decks and that kind of thing too. So it can be, and a lot of people, I think since COVID, they have an office space, but they don't work at it. They work remote. And so they may just come, they may just have the office space in the event that they do need to meet clients. So like, yeah, all right.
It's just our, in the future, I should say in the future, I think flexibility is still important, especially those that are parents. I just couldn't imagine. My kids, thank God, were adults or young adults at the time, because the stress of what happened to people with COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that is pushing the, I'm just going on COVID because everybody has their own experience with it and how they dealt with it.
Absolutely.
And it, and your show, where it came out, didn't it, during COVID?
Yeah. The last episode aired, I think, a week or two before the world shut down. So basically.
Oh, your stuff was filmed already? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it aired in February of 2020. And then I think March 12th or 13th was when they shut the world down. But it was like, you know, people were just catching on to the show. So it was like, everyone's now trapped in their homes. What else are they going to do except for watch the show? So it probably became popular the month of March for us.
That's good. That's the good takeaway. That's why I look at a situation and you have to acknowledge the bad stuff, but then I try to look at what good can, you know, what's the good aspect, because that helps people get through things, at least for me. And I think it's just amazing how technology has amplified, it seems, recently. Yeah. I mean, it's always been around, but it's just faster and faster. And I think that's why people feel a little, you know, I talk a lot about overwhelmed. I myself can feel overwhelmed sometimes with things being thrown at me.
Absolutely.
And that's why you have to take it. My perspective is a little step at a time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To acknowledge it.
I'm the same way. It's interesting because today, I know before we started recording, I was like, yeah, I just booked a therapy thing yesterday. But today I just feel off. And I am, you know, I got out, I did my responsibilities of going to meet with some clients this morning and everything. But like, I think I'm just like hormonal emotions, whatever is happening too. And I'm like, I think I just need to like honor myself. Like I would like to just like curl up on my couch and watch a movie and cry.
It's okay.
That's all I want to do.
I think that's okay. You have to, that's why I acknowledge it and, you know, deal with it the best way you can. And I try to just help people. I think that's one of my, it's good and bad trait. I try to help people too much.
Yeah.
Because maybe I'm trying to ignore things that I need.
Yeah. That could be it too. Yes.
It's the mom in me. Mm-hmm. That's just, I joked that I was meant to be a mom of boys.
Yeah.
I survived raising boys.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They're very dangerous.
How many boys do you have?
Two sons. And I joke, you know, my husband's one of my sons. I'm kidding. He's not. No, it's just, you got to just meet with the, you know, everything is not perfect. And that's something you could probably relate to that too. We, as women, we try to be perfect, or yeah. I mean, at least when I was brought up, everything is perfect. And I think you're acknowledging that it's okay to not be, and to be open about it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So much of that. Yes. I'm in the middle of reading a book, but this author was kind of painting that picture of like how she was so perfect, you know, in a lot of her programming to be perfect, I guess. And so she had a lot of binging and rebellious behaviors in her adolescence, right. Like young teens. And I was relating so much. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, but I think she was painting it in the sense of, you know, it's not stuff to like regret. Like that's a part of your healing journey. Like you had to go through those things. You needed to do those rebellious acts. You needed to binge, whatever you needed to do, be crazy, be wild at some points. And like, because it's a part of your journey and you learn lessons from those things, heal from it. And I was like, okay, you know, cause I think a lot of us can have a tendency to, if we're not so prim and proper, we have a tendency to like shame and guilt ourselves around things. And then that, and those emotions are just stuffed inside of us and not helping us in any regard. So it's like, okay, you know, if just having a different perspective of things and be like, all right, you're right.
I think
I'm a wild child at the age of 21 and
when I did my own thing to be an independent contractor and stuff, my mother-in-law was thought it was dumb. Like, I'm, you know, she was trying to help me, but at the same time, I'm like, I want to do be Bridget. I didn't want to, I hated wearing those high heels. I'm sorry, I had to go. I have bunions. Sorry, I'm just telling you. I mean,
it I love it.
Bunions in my feet. My
feet.
I think that's a different generation, but she did a lot. My mom did a lot. And so we try to learn from each generation. And they were, I think, the ones, they probably had more stress than we did, I think, personally.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Just because of, they were the first women to go really be more professional in work, at least from my perspective. They were good role models, but I still rebelled a little bit. Like, maybe because I was just, I had an older brother, and that's probably why I wanted to be like the first
one. Yeah. Yeah.
And just go be rough. And I'm surprised I survived him too.
Right.
do you have any siblings, or I'm just curious?
Yes, I do. I have a sister. We're 14 months apart. She's a year older.
Oh, very close. Oh, yeah. That was probably hard on your parents.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I always tell, I joke with my mom. She hates it when I joke about it, but I'm like, yeah, it was an accident. She was like, you are not an accident. You are a perfect miracle baby. You just were not planned. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. It was an accident.
Thanks, mom. Thanks, mom. Right. It's just embrace the differences. And I just, I was born during I'm an older Gen Xer, is that the right word? And so we were pre-roamers. Mm-hmm. And I think that was good, if you think about it, in that, but I still survived. But I like to always be around, Kelly, diversity. For some reason, I like being around people who were different, because I would learn from them. And we would support each other. I don't know. It's just kind of, I don't know if you grew up in Georgia.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Did. So you understand, right? And I grew up in Columbus, Georgia, which is near, I'm a military brat. Okay. That's probably why I was wild. And we weren't watched much, but I just had being in the military, you know, around the military, you move around a lot. And that's kind of why you learn, you got to adapt really quickly.
Yeah.
And then I've always had this passion. I want to live in Atlanta. I never actually lived in Atlanta, but I moved near it. Right.
Yeah.
But there's something about it. I was just, maybe who knows what I watched on TV or something.
Right. Right.
It's just fascinated me. And it's really cool that you're still here in Atlanta. So you embrace the culture. You understand what I mean by the diversity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what do you think is growing up in Atlanta? I should say in Atlanta, but I'm not sure what part of Atlanta. We just say Atlanta, guys, just because. It's,
yeah, I know.
People don't know
the Atlanta area.
Right. But I was just curious what, you know, what you learn being in this area. What is that? I'm sure you learned about diversity too, right?
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting. So I grew up about an hour east of Atlanta, and it was very country out there. Very white, mostly. So not a lot of diversity there. But my dad worked in the city. We were actually vegetarians when I was younger.
Oh, wow.
And they did not have vegetarian health or health conscious stores in where I live or anywhere close to. So we would drive, I think, every 2 to 3 weeks into Atlanta and go to Seven Nanda's grocery store, Little Five Points, which Little Five Points is still a very diverse area. It was back then. It is still today. Very eccentric and eclectic community. And so, yeah, I was exposed to a lot of diversity, homeless people, lots of things. Yeah.
Well, so I think in Columbus, well, when I was a kid, I didn't know, you didn't have to deal with this like I did. That's when they had the desegregation happening in the early 70s. And so then I got we lived in a white neighborhood, and I got bused on the other side of town. But I, at the time, it's my mom was, PO'd, sorry. And but I learned that their perspective being around those people, even though I would not go over there now. But I didn't know any, we weren't there by bus, but that's kind of what I meant. I'm like, wow, these people, they were really nice because you heard other stuff, people talk, but actually meeting with them in Columbus is extremely diverse. It's actually probably more, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Columbus, Georgia. It's changing a lot too, in a good way, but I think there the military had a big impact on that city, and that's why it was more diverse probably in Atlanta. That's
Absolutely.
probably what it was. But I, as soon as I graduated high school, I was that other though. Sorry, bye. But because they knew to, it's kind of a, I'm sorry, you
Small
understand.
town.
They know everybody's business, right?
Oh,
And
yeah.
that's, and my, I just had to, I didn't, that's not about me. But anyway, I had to like get out of there, and I thrived getting out of there. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I
Absolutely.
understand you got to thrive and find your way.
Yeah, I
And
know my parents are always like, you could always move back home, but if you when I was going through like some financial issues, right? They're like, you could always move back home. And but also they, I will be 39 in July, and they're like, they'd like me to have a boyfriend at some point and get married and have kids. And they're like, but we really don't want you to come here because I don't think your husband is gonna be here. Like, I don't think that your person is here. We're in our hometown still. And I was
Gotcha.
like, yeah,
Right. It's
exactly.
very interesting how people's their backgrounds or perspectives. We just need to be more open and to listen.
Totally.
I think that is what I've learned. I think part of it is I'm not, my mother is not from the US. I think that was part of it. Okay, she married an American soldier. And so that maybe it just makes me more open
Oh yeah,
to
absolutely.
stuff. And people made fun of my mother because she didn't know how to cook Southern food. I'm sorry, she's not from the
Right, yeah.
South. So I grew up eating European kind of, I mean, that's kind of how I was raised, but that's the bonus of having, that's why maybe I'm just so enamored with diversity. I know I don't,
I mean,
it,
that's
she was
great.
very strong woman, so she still is still here, and we don't realize. We have to appreciate what, like you said, your parents, they're in their environment. They love it there. And I'm assuming they come to Atlanta occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally. I go home more, but
And as we age, it's just harder. Trust me. I forget sometimes my age, but I am, I'm going to be, oh yeah, I won't say how old I am. Late 50s. How's that? So it's just shocking, but a lot of it has to do with taking care of, I've learned to take care of myself, and I'm sure you do that as well. So what are some of your self-care things? Because I think that's one thing you're passionate about too,
It
right? Your
is.
self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, movement. There was a time I think I got into a bit of a depression and I really didn't move my body, and I could tell. One, I mean, just mental health wise, I just was not in a good space. But also just like results, behaviors that I was doing, like almost like I said, kind of going back to those like rebellious, like acting out. And I'm like, because I'm so detached from myself, like I was so disconnected from myself because I wasn't working out. I was not really, I felt like I was disconnected from my purpose at the time. Like there was just a lot, and I just was totally disconnected. I wasn't journaling. I mean, those are things that I do. So movement, journaling, reading personal development books. I'm usually always in some type of like mindset coaching program, whether it's taking a digital course or working with a mentor. I'm currently kind of like in an alumni program with a coach I've worked with before, and so every Wednesday, I try to at least listen in on her little live group coaching calls. And otherwise, I mean, just trying to get myself out and be social. I think I am an extrovert introvert, so I do enjoy being around people. Granted, my full-time job, I have to be
That
around
helps. That
people.
helps. Yes.
So it definitely energizes me, but I do enjoy my alone time as well.
Right.
I think even deeper, obviously these are things I don't do regularly, although they would probably help if I did, but you know, like really deep breath work sessions that really tap you or like drop you into your emotional body. Those are very good healing techniques. And from time to time, I will do a breath work session because I'm like, I need to cry and I need to like get this stuff out of me. But you know, that kind of thing, therapy, I want to say they're all like really good self-care practices that we could all utilize and do.
And I like what you're saying, because it's, you're acknowledging it, the importance of it, but you're also acknowledging that you're not perfect and it's okay.
Right.
That's exactly. Really kind of what it circles back to, that. It's okay. We know this stuff happens. We get come across barriers in our life, and you just got to climb over it sometime. And that's kind of why I talk about, mention resilience sometimes. We're not born with resilience. I think we learn it after we're getting knocked down and picking ourselves up.
I agree.
I just love, I'm like you. I love being around the energy, but then I need some alone time too. My thing is being like looking at trees. I know that sounds, but I just like, okay.
Yeah,
it does. Looking at trees. It's just calming.
Yeah.
And I love dogs. I don't know if you have any pets.
I don't, but I like petting. petting other people's dogs.
Right. And they can be expensive, but the same, they remind you, what I've learned, to be in the moment, quit focusing on what's in the, you know, if they remind you to be in the moment and they sniff and stuff.
Yeah, that's
and
so true.
You know, you're like, okay, all right, let's go look at, you know, that's kind of, they remind you of that. And it's just so cool to, I'm so glad people are talking about this more. How important self-care is. It's not just for women, it's for guys. The guys that are listening, it's just as important. For them. And there's, I think the technology, like I said, is affecting us in ways. It's good, and I think there's good and bad.
I agree.
To technology, and I try to use it only for the good. That's just me.
Yes. Yeah. Because you can get sucked in a wormhole.
Oh, yeah. I'm guilty of, I joke that my avatar, Kelly, is a dog. I'm
like, yeah.
You know, that's what tech does to me sometimes. And so I have to turn it off because I'm just intrigued by learning new things. I think learning is something that a lot of people are wanting to do now. Learning is good for you. It helps with your personal development, with your mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. And
understanding how the different parts of the world is so cool. I have one more question for you. You said you're going to restart your podcast. What is your podcast about?
Yeah, so there, I'm like, it's a lot.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I feel like every guest that I have on there, though, the overarching theme, I would say, is probably like personal development, self-love, healing, mental health. Because I've had people from, you know, entrepreneurs that have gone through extreme challenges in their life. So sharing their adversities and how they've overcome that, to other reality TV stars on my show to talk about their challenges with the effect of the show that they have been on. So again, kind of going into the mental health aspect of things. And we dive into like love, dating, and relationships as well. And just trying to figure that life out.
Right. It is hard being, I just couldn't imagine. I mean, I've been married for a while. I was fortunate. We are different. My husband and I are very different. I think that helps. We're total opposites. I mean, we have some commonalities, like liking dogs. You know what I'm saying? But and that's just something that when I moved, I traveled and transferred to the University of Wisconsin back in the day. And he's from Wisconsin. He got out of the military, and I just thought you'd find this funny. And he wanted me to come up there. I'm like, well, I have a dog, you know, and I got a dog. And so he's okay with that. And that's kind of why he realized how good he was with dogs. So that's something that connects us. And for some days we want to, you know, talk to each other, you know.
Right.
I'm kidding. I'm just
metaphorically speaking.
Metaphorically. Right. I'm the talker. He's not. Yeah. And that's,
I think that's a lot of women though. I think that's a lot. I have a video I'm going to like produce this where it says like him, you talk a lot, me, and it produces a podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Becomes a podcast host.
Okay, yeah,
got a lot of things to say.
Yeah, no, I was on a guest a couple weeks ago on a show called Born to Talk. I'm like, I was hosted by another woman, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
I'm like, yeah. And so we have a lot in common, Kelly. Mm-hmm. I think that's just awesome. I'm so glad we connected. I love your energy.
Thank you.
And your honesty is so important for women. You're not alone in this. Everybody, we all have problems. You don't have to be public about it.
Right.
I didn't start being public about like the health issues I had because my sons, when they were younger, are the ones that convinced me to do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was them. I started my blog, gosh, 14 years ago.
Wow.
To start, and they're like, share that. And it was therapeutic, actually.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure.
Other people liked it. And but I was, I talk about, I'm in the publishing business, but I never published anything, right? I just kept it I was helping other people and kept all my stuff to her. And it's very helpful to other people to hear stories. Yeah. And I think that's what I've learned along the way. We learn from each other's stories.
Yeah.
And we can connect. People can connect with you, Kelly, because of what you're doing. And they understand some kind of similar experience, right? I think it's great that you're doing this. So what is the name of your podcast? I don't remember if you said that.
Yeah, no, it's Chase Life with Kelly.
Chase Life with Kelly. Okay, that sounds really cool. So where can people learn more about you, Kelly?
Yeah, so I show up mostly on Instagram. Same thing at Chase Life with Kelly. I also have a TikTok. It's I Am Kelly Chase over there. And then my podcast, you can stream it anywhere. I have over 100 episodes already.
Wow.
But like I said, I took a little break. We're in relaunch mode. So I'm excited to get it back out there and talk about all the things that are on my mind and my heart that are near and dear to me and, have other guests on to share their stories as well and make that connection. So I'm ready to just really focus all my energy there so much. I'm so excited about it.
That's good. Like you had to go try other things, figure out where you should put your time and effort. Right.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That is really great. I love what you're doing, and I love that you're sharing your story. And podcasting is a great, great tool. Some people made fun of people doing them in the past, but it's just really popular.
It is.
It's a great way to hear stories, and you can go walk and listen. I'm a runner. I don't want to have something like that in my ears, but I'll listen to it if I'm in a car or if I'm cooking. That's kind
yeah.
of, you got to blend it in that way. Find a way that you're going to absorb the info. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would say I probably listen to podcasts more when I'm driving around. Right. It's just takes the focus off the traffic.
Exactly. Oh yeah. That's a different, another story.
But yeah.
Pros and cons of everything.
Absolutely.
And just be, and it's kind of like a new type of former radio.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Absolutely.
You can have your own radio show. That's kind of back in the day, radio.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. So fun.
Well, this has been really awesome, Kelly, and I really appreciate you being on. And for those listening, I'll have the links that Kelly mentioned in the description. And I'm so glad we connected, and we should touch base in person since we both live in the same similar area.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to. That would be great. Thanks for having me on, too.
No problem. Thanks, guys.